these extras and people who are working behind this, the cameras were doing is they had this whole areas of town in these big tents. They would start work at 6 in the morning and or earlier and stand around and do things all day waiting. Most of movie making is waiting. And I saw that for their moment to shine, be it in acting or movie or making, however it is, costume. And then they would work until 6:30, 7:30 at night. So I was talking to one of my nieces. I said, Stormy, what is that like? And she goes, Uncle Jeff, she goes, we all are living in that world. And we get up, and she lives in Ponca City, 45 minutes away from here. And she's got kids and stuff. So she and her husband figure things out. Then she gets ready, drives over here, was there all day, all night. This is very typical. And sometimes they were filming just special at 2, 3 in the morning. And so she says, we're there. We're all together. She had a larger role than some others. So she was more engaged with some of the top stars. We live in that world day in, day out for months after months after months. And we're living back in those times. And you know, and she speaks very good Osage.
This is your niece now you're talking
about,
right?
Yeah. Storm Brave. Anyway, that's her name. So she, and it's typical, I found out, that they're so, the Osages particularly were so dedicated, and we had such great direction on what to do by world-class people. Some of them are still in the film business and have their Screen Actors Guild cards. Yeah, some got SAG cards. And there was Indians there, Native Americans everywhere up here. It was great. That world they were in, and then one day, I mean, like it's like that whole world, like in 2 days, it was gone. And it was...
back to real life.
Well, here we were, you know. Yeah. Here I am up here, you know. Right. And John comes up, and he was like, gosh, here comes Marianne and her assistants. And I said, yeah. She goes, that happens. That's just part of that.
Right.
But if you ever get a chance to be part of world-class movie making, because other movies have been made here with great actors and great actresses. It was kind of that kind of a town. And I mean, and they, I'm not going to mention any names because, I mean, they're world-class actors and actresses. Yeah. But you get something like a Martin Scorsese, which I've learned, and you put him and his people together, it is a very different experience than the other movies that have been made here. It is a whole nother time, a whole nother era, a whole nother world. What geniuses. And he gets the geniuses together,
right?
And they all collaborate. And then they all go to the next project. They're all just gone.
When it was wrapping up or finished, did you have final words with Scorsese or near the end and how he felt, good or you?
Oh, no. I do know that Chad Renfro and Johnny Williams told me after we thought they'd wrapped up filming, which they did for the most part, that they wanted to come back and do a just a dance up here on up here where we work of those extras and others. Just put on your Osage clothes and have a dance just to show. I said, well, what for? And they said, well, to show the Osage are still here and that we're still, doing what we do. Because, you know, our culture and language is really about everything. I mean, that's what we all live in a modern world and have for, you know, a couple hundred years. But what's kept us separate, distinct, and unified is this language, which we almost lost, our culture, which is strong, our songs, which is strong, our foods, our traditional foods, which is strong. We have so many things, the way we view the world religiously and the diversity we have. That is that is the magic of the Osage. I think that money we had, we were able to keep things a little bit longer than other tribes.
When the film was being made, pretty good economic impact on the community.
Well, but if we were better prepared, it would have been a lot more. Bartlesville and Ponca City, especially Bartlesville, and good for them, but they, you know, hotel rooms, apartments, all these people that worked, and it was a boom here for the small town of Pawhuska.
Bartlesville is how far from here?
About 25 miles.
See, so that was an easy drive.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, and so they came here twice, pre-COVID, and then they had all this places rented out over there, and then COVID hit, and they stopped filming. They were just starting, and they stopped everything, and all of that was changed, where people stayed and everything. So then they came back post-COVID, and all started up again. So had two shots at it.
You know, you talked about in the 20s when this was going on, there were families who just got out of here.
That's right.
They were afraid they were going to be murdered.
I know quite a few of those families. Right. They still vote, and as a politician, you got to travel out there.
to where they are.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they could be living in California and voting on. Right.
And they do.
And so you've had to campaign out in California.
We all do. More than once.
Right. But what this community would have been like had this reign of terror not happened, the families that would have been here, we kind of alluded to the aunts and uncles and so forth, that wouldn't be here.
There are other things. Before you get back to what you're going to say, do you know that I was told by these old folks that Mr. Marlin wanted to put his refinery here and Mr. Phillips wanted to put a refinery here? But the real estate agents and others that controlled the land jacked the prices so much that both those gentlemen were just mad and said, okay, we'll just show you. Mr. Marlin built his refinery in Ponca City, and Mr. Phillips put his world headquarters over there in Bartlesville. That's just another side note.
That is right.
Can you imagine what this town would be like?
Right.
Yeah,
but that had nothing to do with.
And that was the Osage. That was just greed.
It just right. But then I bring back the 1921 race massacre, and I've talked in interviews with people who said all the families who left, the wealthy blacks who left and went to Chicago and other areas, that would more than likely have stayed in Tulsa, and been very productive citizens living in Tulsa, and they lost all those families and their descendants. So there's a correlation here from reign of terror and race massacre.
There was also, I was told by people that were there, that community members and victims of that massacre escaped up Bird Creek, went all the way from North Tulsa and all the way up to right here where Bird Creek is, and sought refuge. And many of them moved on to other places, but many of the families are still here that were scattered. That's part of the massacre story I haven't heard anybody talk about, but I heard it from the old folks that said, oh yeah, we helped them out. They came up here, they were all running for their lives, and their whole families. It was terrible.